The following is a reading from the John S. Randall Peace Page. Georgia. He was born in Georgia in 1924, October 1st, when the townspeople still used mule-drawn wagons for transportation. Household necessities, which we take for granted today, such as indoor plumbing and electricity, were rare. As a young boy, he and his father, a descendant of English immigrants, would listen to the radio together. His mother was a nurse, and according to the Miller Center, she was well-read and curious about the world around her. And she crossed the then strict lines of segregation in 1920s Georgia by counseling poor African American women on matters of health care. The young boy would make friends with a black farmhand's children, and he was the first on his father's side of the family to graduate from high school. Two of the young boy's closest friends were African American, as were two of the most influential adults in his life: his nanny and his father's co-worker. As a young man, it was his dream to attend the U.S. Naval Academy. He got his chance in 1943. During his time at the academy, he would fall in love with his sister's friend, and he would eventually marry after graduation. He was promoted to lieutenant junior grade in 1949. But when his father died in 1953, he had to give up his dreams, resign his naval commission, and return home to take over his family's farm and business. According to the Miller Center, the South was changing. The Supreme Court, in the landmark case of Brown v. Board on education of Topeka in 1954, had declared school segregation unconstitutional. Later, in neighboring Alabama, an African-American woman named Rosa Parks refused to surrender her seat on a city bus to a white person, and she was jailed for it. Black citizens boycotted the bus system and challenged the segregation in court. They were taking a stand against centuries of oppression, and the attitudes of many whites hardened. In 1954, segregationist organizations were springing up all over the South in response to Brown versus Board of Education. The young farmer would be visited by the chief of police and a Baptist minister, urging him to join the local White Citizens Council, an organization formed to maintain the segregation status quo in the South. One source said, "White citizens' councils were the political arm of the Klan." The young farmer would refuse. The men would return again, telling the young farmer he was the only white man in his town to refuse. He again refused. The men returned a third time with some of the farmer's customers, who threatened to boycott his business. According to the Los Angeles Times, if he couldn't afford the $5 dues, they would lend it to him. "I've got $5, the young farmer responded, "and I'd flush it down the toilet before I'd give it to you." The council's members did boycott the young farmer's business, and signs would be pasted on the farmer's front door full of racist remarks. But the farmer stubbornly held out over and over, time and time again. The boycott fizzled out. In the 1960s, the farmer's church voted against desegregation itself. There were only three dissenting votes. Two of those votes came from the farmer, James Earl Carter Jr., and his wife, Rosalind Smith Carter. Jimmy Carter continued to hold on to his progressive views of integration during his two terms in the state Senate, helping repeal laws designed to discourage African Americans from voting. When he became governor, he shocked the crowd by declaring in his inaugural speech that the time of racial discrimination is over. No poor, rural, weak, or black person should ever have to bear the additional burden of being deprived of the opportunity for an education, a job, or simple justice. When he became president in 1977, he sold the presidential yacht and made it clear that he considered himself no better in status than his voters simply because of political power. After leaving the White House, the 39th president of the United States decided not to join corporate boards or give speeches for big money because, he says, he didn't want to capitalize financially on being in the White House. According to the Constitution Daily, this was the reason Harry Truman was his favorite president, because he admired Truman for not trying to profit off his presidency. While he was president, Carter's daughter Amy attended public school Stevens Elementary School and then Rose Hardy Middle School, which are majority black public schools in Washington, D.C. Her nanny during that time was Mary Prince, an African-American woman wrongly convicted of murder and later pardoned. He is the only modern president to return to his previous home after leaving the White House. He has used his post-presidency to support human rights, global health programs, and fair elections worldwide through his Carter Center based in Atlanta, Georgia. He's also written 32 books about his life, his career, his faith, Middle East peace, women's rights, aging, fishing, woodworking, and even a children's book written with his daughter, Amy Carter, called The Little Baby Snugglefleeger. In his spare time, he teaches Sunday school and he builds homes. Carter and Rosalind have also been building for Habitat for Humanity for 36 years now, and they want to continue doing so until they're no longer able to. The Carters have helped renovate 4,300 homes in 14 countries and 21 states for Habitat for Humanity. Carter would say of Habitat for Humanity, "There's no way to describe exactly why Habitat means so much to me, but I will try." If you are a person of faith, you learn certain basic lessons about truth, justice, love, and sharing that shape your life. It doesn't matter whether you learn these lessons in a church, as I did, or in a synagogue, in a mosque, or in a temple. Wherever the lessons are learned, they remain largely the same. One is that people who have been blessed with wealth should share that wealth with others who are in need. Finding a way to do this, however, can be hard because of the divide that separates the rich and the poor. When he and Rosalind are not building homes or doing their work, they're usually just relaxing in their own home where they prepare their own modest meals and watch television like Law & Order and Atlanta Braves baseball games. They used to take evening walks around their neighborhood, still holding hands. But early in 2019, he broke his hip. Carter beat cancer in 2015. F. Scott Fitzgerald once wrote, "There are no second acts in American lives, but Carter's public career after the White House is surely an exception," according to one article. Carter received his Nobel Prize in 2002 for his decades of untiring effort to find peaceful solutions to international conflicts, to advance democracy and human rights, and to promote economic and social development. He continues to speak out against racism to this day. He said America did not invent human rights. In a very real sense, it is the other way around. Human rights invented America. Ours was the first nation in the history of the world to be founded explicitly on such an idea. Our social and political progress has been based on one fundamental principle, the value and importance of the individual. The fundamental force that unites us is not kinship or place of origin or religious preference. The love of liberty is a common blood that flows in our American veins. If we are to serve as a beacon for human rights, we must continue to perfect here at home the rights and values which we espouse around the world. A decent education for our children, adequate medical care for all Americans, an end to discrimination against minorities and women, a job for all those able to work, and freedom from injustice and religious intolerance. Thank you. October 1st was President Carter's 95th birthday, making him the longest living president in United States history. For his 95th birthday in 2019, Rosalind asked supporters to wish him a happy birthday. They both planned to travel to Nashville to construct 21 homes with Habitat for Humanity from October 6th to October 11th, 2019. However, early in October, Jimmy Carter did take another fall. You can go to cartercenter.org, and there you can wish President Carter a belated happy birthday. You can check on his well-being, and you can also find out the kind of work he's been doing recently. Happy belated birthday, President Carter. This was a reading from the John S. Randall Peace Page, produced at the KTWH Community Radio Studio in Two Harbors, Minnesota, with the permission of John S. Randall. You can find the John S. Randall Peace Page on Facebook. Just look for him, John, J-O-N, S. Randall, R-A-N-D-A-L, Peace Page. I'm Kim Leon, your narrator, and I thank my technical assistant, Dave Leon. This was an entry from October 1st, 2019. Thank you for listening.